Good day and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow Full Year 2016 Financial and Business Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Elena Financina. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is our pleasure to welcome you today at presentation of 2016 Financial and Business Results of Credit Bank of Moscow. My name is Elena Financina, and I'm in charge of investor relations in the bank, and my colleagues, Vladimir Chubar, CEO of the bank, and Eric Debosham, Senior Vice President, will be presenting our IFRS results today. Vladimir will start the discussion from a brief highlight of the key financial and business results of the previous year, followed by Eric, who will amplify the financial performance review. We will be happy to take your questions after a presentation of the bank's results. So now I would like to pass the floor over to Vladimir.
Thank you, Yelena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As usual, I would like to start from a couple of comments regarding the overall macroeconomic background prevailing throughout 2016 as it sets the mood for development of the Russian banking sector and CBM in particular. During 2016, we observed strengthening of the economic activity in Russia with the improving oil prices and recovering industrial production. We noted stronger demand for corporate loans last year as evidenced by the loan portfolio growth dynamics and expected further gradual recovery during 2017 backed up by the expected economic growth. GDP is improving also driven by growth in real incomes and therefore consumption. International capital markets demonstrated during 2016 that they are far more receptive to the Russian issuers now, and most recent transactions serve a convincing proof to the existing demand for and growing interest to Russian names. On this upbeat note, let's now proceed to financial highlights overview on slide number 2. We are glad to report on strong performance of the bank for 2016, evidenced by improvement of the key metrics supported by the qualitative business growth. Profit for the period demonstrated a sevenfold growth to almost 11 billion rubles versus 1.5 billion rubles in 2015. Net interest income increased by over 37% to more than 40 billion rubles. Net fee and commission income increased almost by 50% to more than 11 billion rubles. Net interest margin slightly declined to 3.3% on the backdrop of the bank's cautious approach to liquidity management and focus on expansion of highly liquid assets on the balance sheet. Strong return on average equity of 11.11% for 2016 was supported by outstanding efficiency with a cost-to-income ratio of 24.6%. Gross loans to customers showed the growth of 5.8% for the period driven by expansion of the corporate loan book. Asset quality indicators evidence healthy business growth with the NPL ratio being 2.3% for 2016, down from 5.1% in 2015. Cost of risk further decreased to 4.6%. Basel III capital adequacy ratio stands healthy at 14.7% as at the year end, weakened versus 2015, partly due to Tier 2 instruments amortization and business expansion. Let's now move to business highlights on slide number 3. Corporate lending remains a key driver of the loan portfolio growth, with the retail loan book gradually shrinking in line with the bank's strategy. Corporate loan book delivered an 11% growth during 2016, mostly as a result of higher demand for funding from the existing large and medium-sized customers from the target economic sectors. Well, the diversified loan portfolio remains among the bank's strategic goals, which is well illustrated on a pie chart on this slide. Each and any sector concentration is below 20%, with the sector strategy and the target customer profile being continuously revised in order to reflect market trends. The loan book keeps on declining due to tight selection criteria, which aims at healthy portfolio quality preservation. During last year, retail loans decreased by 16%, bringing the bank's exposure to retail business down to 15% of total loans. Target segments in retail lending remain cash loans and mortgages, which represented 71% and 24% of the total gross retail loan book, respectively. The bank currently operates through 90 branches in the Moscow area, and expansion plans target acquisition of individuals to deposit services of the bank. Strengthening of the bank's franchise in the region of presence and development of alternative channels of distribution remain the bank's key priorities in retail business. Now Eric will comment in details on the bank's financial results. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Vladimir, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to draw your attention on slide number 4 with a detailed overview of the bank's income and expenses dynamics. The total operating income grew by 50% year-on-year from 39.2 billion rubles in 2015 to 58.7 billion rubles in 2016. The major part, 68% of operating income, is represented by net interest income, which grew by 37% year-on-year to 40.3 billion rubles. Finally, the bank booked positive forex results and revaluation of securities portfolio over the year 2016, for a total amount of 7.5 billion rubles, to be compared to a figure of 3.5 billion rubles in 2015. A significant part of customer and interbank deposits was placed in low-risk, highly liquid assets, such as securities and interbank placements. This was reflected in the dynamics of interest income. About 50% of the year-on-year growth, or 12 billion rubles out of a total growth of 24 billion rubles, was attributable to securities and deposits from financial institutions. The fee and commission income grew by 44% year-on-year to 13.4 billion rubles. As you can see on the bottom left diagram, the cash handling fees became the main component of fee income with a 19% share, which mainly resulted from the acquisition of Incachran in November 2015. Generally, commissions from cash handling and plastic cards represent the most stable sources of the fee and commission income. On the upper right diagram, operating expenses showed a moderate 35% increase year-on-year. The growth came from salaries and administrative expenses, which was mainly attributable to acquisition and integration of the cash handling business of Incachran. The bank significantly expanded its core business, but managed to keep operating expenses under control, with the cost-to-income ratio decreased down to 24.6% for the reporting period. Now I suggest turning to slide number 5 with a breakdown of total assets. Total assets at the end of December 2016 were represented by the loan portfolio with a 40% share, by liquid assets with a 58% share, including cash and cash equivalents due from credit institution and securities portfolio. The year-to-date growth of total assets by 30%, up to 1.6 trillion rubles, was mostly due to the enlargement of the bank's liquidity buffer, while the net bond book showed a moderate growth of 6%. Tightened standards in lending to individuals led to a controlled decrease of the retail loan portfolio, partially offsetting positive dynamics of corporate loan portfolio. The bank's primary focus remained on asset quality. Therefore, the accumulated strong liquidity cushion was placed in highly liquid, low-risk instruments, such as top-quality securities, 74% of which are included in the Central Bank Lombard list. Now let's move to the slide number 6 on the loan portfolio quality. As described in the upper left diagram, loan portfolio coverage by impairment allowance was increased during the course of the year 2016 and reached a maximum of 7.4% at the end of June. Then, during the second half of 2016, we noted an improvement of risk metrics, and this ratio progressively decreased to reach a 6% level at the end of 2016. The impairment allowance provides a comfortable coverage of NPLs of 263% at the end of 2016, which is shown in the upper right diagram. This ratio was increased significantly after we restructured two corporate loans during the fourth quarter of 2016. NPL ratio decreased to 2.3%, confirming a steady downward trend since the beginning of 2016. The cost of risk decreased from 5.4% for the full year 2015 to 4.6% for 2016. Related party lending is still low, representing 2.8% of the total gross loan book as at the end of 2016. Now I suggest turning to next slide, number 7, with a detailed overview of corporate and retail loan portfolio metrics. On the backdrop of moderate growth of corporate loan book, on the left, qualitative indicators went in positive direction in the reporting period. NPL ratio went down to 1.4% and cost of risk down to 4.3%. The NPL coverage ratio on the corporate loan book increased significantly up to 411%, as previously explained. The retail loan book NPL ratio stabilized at the level of 7.5% on the backdrop of loan portfolio reduction by 15%, down to 101 billion rubles. The cost of risk grew up to 6.5%, and the NPL coverage ratio increased from 97% to 103% year on year. Non-performing cash loans and credit cards are fully covered by provision with a 116% coverage ratio. The next slide, number 8, illustrates the funding structure of the bank. Total liabilities grew by 31% during the year 2016, up to 1.5 trillion rubles. Customer accounts represented the main source of funding with a 40% share in total liabilities. At the same time, deposits by credit institutions grew significantly in the reporting period, enlarging their share in total liabilities up to 26%. The funding from CBR also increased and represented a 17% share in total liabilities, the bulk of this amount being linked with repo transactions. Bonds issued increased by 16 billion rubles, up to 137 billion rubles, supported by the new Eurobond issuance realized in October 16 to diversify the bank's funding base and to access to longer tenors. The bond repayment schedule is well balanced, with the next international debt repayments being due in 2018. Now let's proceed to the final slide, number 9, on the bank's capital. The bank maintained a strong capital position with the following capital adequacy ratios levels. The IFRS Basel III total capital adequacy ratio amounted to 14.7%, and Tier 1 capital ratio to 9.4% at the end of 2016. As of 1st of March 2017, the capital adequacy ratios under Russian accounting standards were above regulatory minimum, with N1 0 ratio of 13.2% and N1 and N2 ratios of 7.6%. These were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for the 2016 financial year. Thank you very much for your attention. And now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will take our first question from Yulia Dimembro from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. I have a few questions, please. My first question is on the corporate deposit withdrawals that you experienced in Q4. Was this by one of your top three depositors, and what currency was the withdrawal in? And also, if you could give us an update on what your customer deposit concentration is now and what percentage of your total deposits do top three depositors account for? That's my first question.
As I understood, the question was about the decrease of deposits. Look, now Some of the deposits were in dollars, some of the deposits were in Russian rubles. Currently, we have inflow of deposits from our top five depositors in February and March. So if you want to see in Russian accounts, in Russian reports by CBR. So now situation is almost the same as it was before the new year. In terms of the concentration, now it's also almost the same as it was in on the last call. So top three, top five depositors still remain. They keep majority in our deposit book, in our corporate deposit book. Thank you.
Okay, and can I just clarify? So when you say deposit situation is back to what it was, you mean back to the Q3 level under IFRS? So all of the withdrawal was reversed?
Yeah, in terms of the volumes, yeah, we almost came back to the same amounts what we've seen in Q3. Currently.
Okay, thanks. And then I guess as far as the rest of your funding stack is concerned, does that mean that you've now repaid the money that you borrowed from the CBR?
Currently, in terms of, we have, as far as you know, we have two banks now in the group. In terms of Credit Bank of Moscow, we have almost zero debt to CBR. In terms of the SKS Bank, which is also in the group, we have more than $2 billion debt to CBR in the form of repo.
Understood, thank you. And this, so this $2 billion, this is this new CBR funding that we're seeing in your balance sheet as of Q4, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. This is the balance sheet of our second bank in the group, SKS Bank.
And why did they decide to borrow from the CBR in Q4?
Because there was a request from the number of the market institutions to have repo transactions with good Eurobonds. And when they came to us, we decided that it can be also part of the business line of the SKS Bank to make such a transaction. And, of course, one of the best sources currently in terms of the price and the volume, it's CBR.
Okay, thank you. So if I look at the your other sources of funding on the liability side, so is it fair to assume that even though your corporate deposits have returned to your Q3 level, everything else is more or less unchanged as it was at the Q4 level? So you didn't repay any of the interbank borrowing and the CBR funding line is still there?
No, currently, if you're talking about the current time, we repaid from the balance sheet of CBM, we repaid to CBR, and we decreased the volume of the borrowing from the interbank and the repo market. And in the general, you're right, so there is no other major changes unless just we made a Eurobond in October, November, so there was kind of increase in this funding.
Understood, thank you. And just out of curiosity, so why did you decide to borrow in the interbank market and from the CBR to meet these withdrawals instead of using your liquid assets, which are very substantial?
But the majority of these liquid assets, it's repo operations, which have a bit longer tenor, so that's why we took this money from the interbank market. So it's a quite simple strategy. And for us, of course, it's a still positive margin. And of course, if I'm talking about market operations, about repo, about interbank market, of course, the margin there is a bit lower than if I'm talking about corporate lending or other sources of placing money. So that's why maybe if there somebody wants to ask the question about the net interest margin decrease, the reason is very simple. So we became a more active player on the interbank and repo markets. So that's why the margin just went down a bit.
Okay, thank you. And just on your asset side, what percentage of your gross loans are relatively short-term repo transactions and could be unwound quickly if needed?
If you're talking about the loan book or just all the assets?
Yeah. The loan book.
Oh, so the question is really not simple because we need to have more certainty in terms of what do you mean by short tenors or longer tenors. Because, for example, if you're talking about 1 month or 2 months, of course, the majority of the loans in the corporate sector, they are longer than this tenor. But still, the majority of the loan book in the corporate segment is shorter than 1 year.
Okay. Thank you. And I just have two more questions, sorry, and I'll let somebody else ask some questions. So just on your capital ratios, could you please give us an update on your planned capital raising, which I think was up to 12 billion rubles, if I'm not mistaken, and what are your targets for the full year 2017 for your capital ratios?
We now, if I just mean the potential shares placement, we have registered shares which can be placed in the nearest future. You're right, it's about 13 billion rubles if you just use the current quotes on Moscow exchange. So look, we of course we did it not just to have the registration of the shares. We plan to have this issue, but we are not sure about timing, so we're just waiting for some good opportunity in the market. It can be in a month, in 2, 3, 5 months, nobody knows. In terms of other opportunities, we also think that it can be a good year for maybe a Tier 2 issue, so why not? We think that current market situation, when we see that it's really good demand for the Russian debt from the international investors, we'll all the time try to use all the market opportunities for this. In terms of our targets for cost for capital adequacy ratios, of course we want to keep them on the same level as now. So that's why we think that a bit higher. So that's why currently we feel ourselves quite comfortable. So it can be even a bit lower if you're just talking about overall capital adequacy ratios. But if you're talking about IFRS, it's we feel ourselves a bit more comfortable comparing to Russian standards because you know that they are a bit more tough. If you're talking about the CBR requirements, so that's why we decided to maybe have some shares placement in the future.
Okay, understood. Thanks. And my final question is on your asset quality. So there was a very big reduction in NPLs in Q4, so it looks like asset quality is improving. Could you tell us a bit how that reduction was achieved? Was it a write-off or a reclassification? I also noticed that even though your NPLs decreased, if I look at your total impaired loans, including loans that are not past due but are impaired, they actually increased slightly Q on Q, and the increase was actually more or less comparable in size to the reduction in the NPL balance. So just curious to get your thoughts as to what kinds of loans those were, and then are those two movements related?
Look, so you're absolutely right. We have good decrease in terms of the NPLs. The reason for this is very simple. We had number of the loans to be restructured, so it's three or four borrowers, and finally we came to with these borrowers we came to final decisions what kind of restructuring it should be. So we're quite comfortable because with almost all of them we came to my personal view very good conditions of restructurings. In a couple of them we have good increase of the collateral. In another we also came to decision with the borrower that they will pay all the interest which they didn't like to pay before. So my view that is kind of good restructuring loans. And seems to me I answered your question.
Yeah, and the increase in the past due but not impaired loans, it's basically these restructured loans going from NPL to performing, but
yeah,
you still classify them as impaired, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you for your question, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Enrico Moato from Aberdeen Asset Management. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Just and congrats on the results. I think Yulia asked half of my questions, if not more. So I just wanted to go back to asset quality, and obviously, you know, after these basically impairments, which obviously, you know, make your NPL ratio look a lot better and also make your coverage ratio look a lot better, I was trying to understand, like, going forward, what kind of provision charge should we expect to see on the balance sheet, and how much of that will actually boost your profitability? And then as a result, what kind of coverage ratios are you targeting?
Thank you for the question. I will pass the floor to Eric.
Yeah, Enrique, thanks for your question. So in fact, definitely, in order to assess, let's say, better assets, I mean, the level of risk, we should more focus on cost of risk level. So you saw that since the June 2016, we see, let's say, a decreasing trend. So now the cost of risk is down to 4.6%. We see, let's say, during the first quarter of 2017, more or less the same trend. So the target we have for this year is to be, let's say, around 4% in terms of cost of risk. NPL, of course, it will depend on also on restructuring and other factors.
Okay, thanks. And the other question I have is, I mean, on efficiency ratio or cost to income ratio, I mean, I know you run a relatively, you know, not a relatively, actually quite efficient branch network and all that, but I think we're reaching levels where, I mean, if I were an employee, I would be asking for a bit more money. I mean, what are you guys going to do in terms of maintaining this cost to income ratio? And if you perhaps could give us some guidance for 2017, that would be great.
Our guidance is a bit higher than it was in 2016, so we expect it will be less than 30%, so maybe 27-28%. The reasons for this are quite simple. So we expect kind of a bit increase of the expenditures for IT infrastructure, for also opening new branches, and of course it will be kind of inflation in terms of the salaries. At the same time, of course, we'll try to push hard the income part, and that's why maybe it will be even lower, because our plan for the 2016 was, of course, in terms of the cost-to-income ratio, was higher than we finally had. So we'll try to make it even on the level of 2016, but maybe a bit increase, we'll see. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then just one final question. I mean, in terms of capital markets, obviously you mentioned, you know, potentially doing something about the Tier 2 capital. That makes sense. Potentially AT1 as well. I mean, we've seen like Alpha doing an AT1, pretty good demand for that as well. Would you consider that?
Look, as I said, we like old market opportunities all the time, and of course, successful story of Alpha Bank in last year came also to our discussion, and we also think that why not? But currently, we have no decisions yet, and if there will be good market, there will be good potential demand, of course, why not? But currently we just maybe have this in my head and maybe head of a couple of other people in the bank.
Okay, thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. If you find that your question has already been answered or asked, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now take our next question from Dennis Gourvay from Raiffeisen Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the presentation. I have a follow-up question to the previously asked regarding your experience or withdrawal of funds from your corporate deposits. Given that you had it, why didn't you allocate more funds in your liquid assets? As I see in note 9 and 10, almost half of your assets, liquid assets, placed on a deposit of not rated banks. Given that the speed at which CBR is withdrawing licenses, don't you think that this money could be lost from your asset sides? It's my first question.
Denis, thank you for your question. So look, it's not the banks. We are talking more about financial institutions, and it's our counterparties in the repo market. So of course, you're absolutely right. They are not rated. But it's not the banks. The majority of them, it's financial companies, brokers, and of course, when we just work with them, first look at their financial situation. But of course, main look we made on the quality of the collateral, of the quality of the base asset, of the basic asset in a repo transaction. But also, you can see that we have an audit. The majority of these assets are euro bonds, and they are rated with a triple B or minus or higher rating.
Okay, and the next question is regarding related party transactions. As I see in note 14, loans to customers under control of major beneficiary grew from 7 billion rubles to 18 billion rubles in fourth quarter. Would you please elaborate what are the reasons for such loans to related parties, and especially how it could be connected to the forthcoming share issues, an amount, as I understood correctly, 13 billion rubles?
Thank you for your question. So just answering from the end, it's absolutely no connected anyway. We can tell you that in the very end of the last year, our majority shareholder, Mr. Avdeev, made a transaction when he his company bought the real estate company Opin, which former beneficiary was Mr. Prokhorov. And Opin was our borrower, and of course that's why this is the only reason why we had this increase in related party lending.
Okay, and regarding quality of your portfolio, it's improved in the last quarter of previous year. And would you please indicate what kind of clients or industries you provided with restructured loans? Is it real estate, services, mix of accounts?
Just a second, please. We'll tell you. So, look, first of all, it's one infrastructure company. First
related, is it related to state?
Currently, yes. 50% related. It's also one airline. It's one airline and also one mining company.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Maria Gencheva from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, guys. Thank you very much for the presentation. I think all my questions were answered. Just to follow up on two issues, so you've mentioned that you see possible Tier 2 issuances an interesting proposition for this year. I was just wondering if you could comment as well on the existing bonds that you have, considering that you probably have a less contribution in terms of the subpaper currently existing. And my second question will be surrounding the syndication loan that you're currently negotiating. I don't know how much you can be sharing with us at this stage, but any color will be great. Thank you.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for your question. About current bonds, I actually, to be honest, I didn't understand what was the question, so I tried just to say what I understood. So they mean that if we are, if we think about current if I think about liability management of the current Tier 2 sub bond, our idea, if there will be some transaction kind of like this, our idea that of course the ideal way of this will be try to take some kind of current sub euro bond from the market and replace it with a new one. But as you know, as I said before, so there is no decision made yet. So we are looking at the market. We are thinking about this. And if there will be a good opportunity, of course, we will be here. Just wait. And second question about the and the second question about the syndication. Yeah, there was an information in the market that we are trying to make kind of syndication. And your question was about the potential volume or about the stage or what?
Just any detail as to what you're planning to do with the syndication or the volume or even pricing, if that's possible to discuss now.
You know, I think that it's better to go to our MLAs and which we are working with in terms of the conditions of the transaction, potential pricing and the volumes. But I can tell you that what I see now personally, it should be our record syndication in terms of the overall volume of it, of this transaction.
All right, brilliant. That's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will take our next question from Alan Webborn from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call. Could you talk a little bit about the opportunity to do more volume as we look ahead? And clearly you sort of, from a very cautious stance at the beginning of last year, got more confident on the corporate side as the year went on. Clearly the sort of macro background in Russia, although not spectacular, is clearly improving quite significantly in terms of outlooks for sort of macro support and so on. So how do you feel the sort of amongst your sort of big your big corporate clients, do you feel that sort of there is an opportunity to do more volume over the next year? And has at all your view on retail, which again you've been very cautious on, as we see a turnaround certainly from some of the lenders in terms of volumes, is it something that you're thinking about doing a little bit more in? And again, I suppose in the context of what's been happening to your balance sheet and what's been happening to your margin towards year end, is that sort of settling down now? Do you think you can maintain the sort of level of margin that you were at year end? And with the central bank thinking about and talking about cutting rates, I mean, how do you think that's, is that a challenge for you? Is it a benefit? How do you think that thing to alter the way that you manage the business over the next 12 months if these rate cuts start coming together? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. I will start from the last question about the rate. So, currently, to be honest, for us, the potential change, let's say decrease of the key rate of CBR, for us, it's honestly more challenge because currently, of course, the majority of the borrowers, they look at the key rate very carefully, and every time when they see that there is a decrease or some potential decrease, they're trying to have a discussion with the banks that we like to have lower rates, we like to we want to ask you just if you can decrease the rate because the key rate of CBR is going down. So that's why, of course, it's not immediate impact. It's not immediate impact that all the clients coming to the bank and asking for a decrease in their rates, but kind of the wave can be like for 2, 3, 4 months after this. So it's more challenged. But at the same time, I can tell you that the same situation we see in terms of the deposits, that also we can, with some deposits we have floating rates linked to the key rate of CBR, so that's why we are somehow we have to kind of hedge in this way. But of course, as you know, the market of the floating rates in Russia is very young, so it's not mature at all, and there is no instruments we can use really to protect our interest rate risk. But we managed this years before, last year, and I think that we'll manage this even this year. Your first question was, I'm sorry, but I forgot. If my colleagues can help me.
Really, just...
about the corporate, my colleagues told me. So look, I can tell you also that we see some potential demand, but this demand is currently at a relatively low rates. So there is a couple of reasons for this. The reason number one, of course, is that the competition on the lending side to the corporate borrowers is quite high now. And the second reason is that we started with this, the expectation of the decreasing of the key rate of CBR. So clients, they started to be more mature, and of course they're trying to use this also in the discussion of the rate. So we think that this year, so I mean 2017, growth of the corporate loan book can be in the range of 10 till 15%, which for us, of course, kind of in line with the previous years, last year and but not with the previous years, only last year. But as I said on last calls and a couple of previous calls, that we do not expect that we will be the same bank like we've been a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, with like 50 and more than 50% growth of the loan book. Now it's more time just to like to be more selective in terms of the borrowers. In the retail side, you also asked about the retail side. My retail colleagues, they more and more pushing us just to have some growth in terms of the retail lending. They're trying to explain that the market has changed, that in Moscow area is more and more good borrowers, but also the question of the rates, because as you know, our key competitors, government banks, they are decreasing the rates for the retail borrowers every quarter almost. So there is also kind of price competition very high, and it also should be balanced. But honestly speaking, my internal feeling that we should make it, and we even did in the very beginning of this year, we made some changes in our risk management model to make it less tough. So maybe we'll have some new changes in April or May. Thank you.
Okay, and could I just follow up and say, is the sort of the level of margin, of NIM overall that we saw at the end of Q4 something that you think you can support going forward?
It's really, as I also said in my speech before, that we are very dependable now on the volume of the market operations in our balance sheet. So if we just then the margin will be higher. But for us, of course, they are less marginal. If there is even 1% margin, it's also very good operations because there is almost no pressure on the capital. So that's why it's just a pure, let's say, fee operation with using your balance sheet without using the capital with a very low risk because, as I said, the majority of the bonds we are using here, they are BBB rated, so with a quasi-sovereign risk. So that's why we think that our margin should be and will be more than 3% for sure for this year. But currently, I can tell you that we don't like to, let's say, put ourselves in some range which we are absolutely sure that it will be like this because we like to use all the opportunities we have from the market, and if there will be some new requests from our clients to have more operations in the market area, why not? So we just have more profit, and of course we will have lower net interest margin, but it's just a projection of the situation with the balance sheet, you know.
Yeah. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to you, sir, for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time on this call today and for your interest to Credit Bank of Moscow. Please feel free to ask any questions to the IR team of the bank, and we would like to wish you a lovely rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.